want to say Mark Kimmel, who was on.
Kimmel did, that was Trillian.
The book
Trillian. Yeah.
We did discuss the possibility that extraterrestrial creatures, let's say, could be responsible in some ways for things that we see or, okay, ghosts in certain ways. There was just certain things they do, how they operate. I mean, how do we know for sure that what we saw, let's say you saw what you took a picture of what you thought was possibly a ghost. How do we know for sure that that may not be an extraterrestrial creature? I mean, that's another way to look at it, too.
Can't know.
That's what Jacques saying. He's like, you need to keep a very open mind about this. It could be anything.
It could. I tend to think it's of this world, but maybe parallel. Though.
Right, like dimensional.
However, yeah. I wouldn't rule out unmanned probes from other places. But
yeah.
What do I know?
Well, that's what they've talked about also, and that's another. I know Mr. Kimmel wasn't responsible for that, but that's been another theory that's been going around for years, is that these extraterrestrial beings, these people from space, they have mastered the art of warping time and also bending time and also going in and out of time, so to say, which means they can disappear and reappear.
Oh, Scott, if you haven't read his book, Trillions, you really should.
Actually,
oh, my gosh.
I have to get it back. Long story.
A place with hauntings, too, that time warps. The people will be walking down the street and see something entirely normal, and then it looks like something out of the 50s or the 1850s, and this is mass sightings. So anything's really possible.
Yeah, I mean, and that's that open-mindedness we're talking about right there. I mean, and my thing now, and I don't know if we haven't really had a really good jam session on the phone in a while, Tamara, but like that's my big thing I'm doing right now. My big grand unified project is I'm trying to find the way, because I personally believe that all of these things, earth mysteries, ghosts, aliens, Doug, help me here, tarot cards, blah, 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 anything,
tarot.
Somehow. Didn't we go through this once already?
Yes, we did.
Okay, tarot cards.
Yes.
They all tie together in some way. All of these mysteries that we can't explain, they can be defined under the definition mystery, I believe that they are all related in some way. There's some type of glue that holds them all together.
Energy. It's all energy.
Yeah.
The unrefutable crop circle phenomenon.
The crop circles?
Yeah, I mean, people have said, it's pranks and things,
Well,
they prank so many places. I mean, I know that there's a lot that are.
Some of them have been pranked, yeah.
Some
yeah.
Have been.
Yeah, Tone is asking about like just the sheer number of crop circles, and it's true. But there are indeed professional or
crop circle makers.
How do you explain the ice circles on the thin ice? Yeah. Where if anybody was to go out there and step on that, it would break. And
the geometric too. I mean, like the math in it too is like so like perfect. You know what I mean? That's a lot of work to go out into somebody's cornfield or wheat field overnight, do something so gargantuan.
Right.
You know what I mean? And the radio, some have radioactive, sometimes the wheat or whatever they've tied down is still growing and still alive, whereas like a lot of the cranks and crop circles have
broken it.
And stuff, they've destroyed the crops and doing it and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know, I'm not some kind of...
those are great questions, though.
Ridiculously, strange. Why not?
Well, then those are good questions. I mean, and those are questions that are asked about that. Why do these things happen? And how, we know there's people that work day in and day out to try to separate the hoaxes from the real deal, so to say. And really, they still have the same questions that you're asking right now, too. They're like, okay.
It's all
got to
be connected.
Tamara.
Yeah.
When are you going to draw all these things together in one humongous book?
Well, a lot of us drawn together in Thunder Road.
Well, that's true. There's a lot of them drawn together in Thunder Road.
I haven't gotten that far yet, but now I have to.
Yeah.
You're going to make me stay up all night reading this book. You know that, Tamara.
That was all my evil intent all along.
She wrote this whole book. Years of research right there just to keep me up all night. I have to be to work very early in the morning, Tamara.
It's a mere 495 pages without the epilogue.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a two-page epilogue.
And actually, it would be 493 without the sex. From what I've read so far.
Read the sorority, it'll get you off.
Oh, the sorority. Now, there's a book. Do we still have we still have the banner for sorority on the on the Ghostly Talk site? Yeah,
we have to get a banner for Grim Acres still, and that's one thing I want to talk about too. There's this new site, Tamara. You have a brand new site. It's called Grim Acres. It's, I think it's two M's. Am I correct?
Yes, like Brothers Grimm.
Yeah, yes. GRIMMACRES.com. This is Tam. This is going to be your new site. Am I correct?
It's a sister site to TamaraThorne.com.
Okay.
It's more active. It's a lot of writers put out e-books and things like that that you can only get online. Well, I don't write a lot of fiction that fast to put up, but I have a whole lot of fun with this stuff, and I have a collaborator, a writer named Melanie Billings, and a webmaster and artist who do lots of fun things. But the thing is, it's about ghosts and all sorts of anomalies. There are characters from my books. Eventually there will be things about the towns in the books. But right now, the big thing is, if you look on the front page, it's got a motto, and it's get the facts first and distort them as much as you please.
Yeah. Now, who stated that?
Mark Twain.
Mark Twain. I read that last night.
Yeah.
And I thought that I laughed out loud when I saw that, because that's so true.
It is. And there are, if you read the La Purissima Ghost Hunt, I took those pictures, maybe not quite the way some of them appear online, that the history is true, except there are some Spanish names in there that you might want to look up, and the footnotes aren't quite kosher. And the ghost hunt, Melanie mostly wrote, and had me laughing out loud. But it's based, all based in fact, and we're going to go back and finish some more ghost hunting on that.
Excellent. What we're going to do, Tamara, we're going to take another break, okay?
Okay.
All right, because we agreed on this.
Yes.
We got something done on the break for once. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and I want to read an excerpt from Thunder Road.
Awesome.
Is that okay, Tamara?
Awesome.
Okay.
It's my favorite part of the book so far. We're going to do this after the break.
Totally cool.
We'll be right back.
We'll be back.
Run! pain. You victimized, but got no one to blame. Just another victim. You're just another victim, kid. Just another victim. You're just another victim, kid. Holy diver, I'm a survivor. Feeling like the Nero in Taxi Driver. With Jodie Foster and Harvey Keitel. Looks like I'm walking through a living hell. So spark that L and I'll get lifted. Feeling the effects of what's restricted. Cause I'm gifted, I read Sun Tzu. I brought a gun too, so you'll never come to. The weight of the world riding on my shoulders. Cause I'm a soldier, I thought I told you. You're just another victim. You're just another victim, kid. You're just another victim. You're just another victim, kid. You're just another victim. You're just another victim, kid. You're just another victim. You're just another victim, kid. Just another victim.
Ah, well, am I on the air? Am I on the air? Is this thing on? Is this thing on?
Loud and clear.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, hello, everybody. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I don't want to talk right now. I sound funny. I sound like an alien.
That sounds awesome.
And there's Scott Elk.
I am Vortar of the planet Venus.
And of course, Karma's in studio. Karma is on the mic, actually. And
I was on that pizza.
I thought I was always on a mic.
Yeah, you always are. And okay. Will, of course, is manning the sound and everything like that and trying to reboot computers in the middle of the show, which is always fun, always fun. Tone and Niche are still in the studio listening to the rest of Ghostly Talk, and thank you so very, 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 very much.
That was awesome.
And Tamara Thorne is our special guest tonight. She's an author. She's wrote the sorority. They just re-released Thunder Road. So everybody rush out to Borders and Barnes & Noble. For your listening enjoyment, we have Scott L. Is going to read his favorite passage so far from Thunder Road. So Scott L., take it away.
I'm going to try to do a straight face. All right.
I don't know if I can do
all
that.
All right, here we go. She paused for several seconds when she got down to the bloodstain, then finished unwrapping the finger and set the towel aside. Blood oozed sluggishly from the cut as she studied it. She dabbled the blood away with the towel, then slowly lifted her head to meet his eyes. I'll kiss it and make it better. He could read her and had no idea what to say except, you don't have to do that. Am I totally slaughtering this, guys? This is where it gets good, ready? Yes, I do. I was thinking about what you said. That we're here to grow. There's more to life than books. Holding his hand in both of hers, she brought the wounded finger to her lips and kissed it. Then she looked up at him, his blood dotting her lips. And finally, he recognized in her a lust akin to his own. Turn this stupid sample off. It's killing me.
when Tamara hears that, she's going to... Okay.
Candle,
all right.
Light the candle back up.
Okay.
Okay, cool. She parted her lips, and the tip of her tongue appeared to cleanse the blood from them. Okay, you guys ready for this? This is really good.
This is the best part.
Tamara's going to kill me, by the way, too.
Yeah.
Carlo shuddered as her mouth closed around the tip of his extended finger. He felt her tongue tickling his flesh. Then she slipped the digit deeper and deeper into her warm mouth.
Even Tamara kids.
Until she made love to the entire finger. And she sucked, moving her soft lips up and down, swirling her tongue. Carlo lost track of everything but the sensation of her mouth and of her hand. Resting firmly against his
erection. I'm stopping right there. Well, that was so friggin' hot.
Let's kill put you back.
Yeah, my ears are like ringing right now.
I don't remember an erection.
Oh, well, on page 305 of Thunder Road, you did say the word erection.
Okay. Well,
I think it's excellent writing.
Is important, but I shouldn't say it because it may spoil
things. I have to say, it's so refreshing though, Tamara, because you know, you've got those kind of, that scene in there, right, which is just like really, really enticing, right? That has nothing to do with the whole book almost though, right? I mean, is that relief, or is that...
Well, yeah.
Because you're talking about...
The characters getting to know each other.
Yeah. Character development. Yes.
And 100%.
Carlo's a very key character in the book. We'll leave it at that. I'm not going to say anything more.
That's true.
But he's a very... he's a big character in the book. And once you get to there, you'll be like, what's going on here?
That's also all. Got to do a whole lot with the male character's psychology, mm-hmm. and it's a lot more than it appears to be.
Yeah.
Ah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to go any further with it because it'll wreck it. I don't want to do that.
But that's so cool. I mean, I think it's just amazing. Amazing. Because even though Scott slaughtered a little bit of it, we got the idea of what was going on pretty well, yeah.
And that's not to give people the wrong idea. That's probably. I mean, I sat and with my glass thing,
magnifying glass.
Yeah, and I was like just
combing
trying to find,
through,
I'm
looking,
like,
looking for the hottest
any type of like filthy words. I was looking for, you know.
Some of the books, they're every other page, like, well, far more explicit than that, in fact. But
yeah.
Other ones are very light on it.
So Thunder Road was an early book of yours, right?
No, not terribly early.
Oh, okay. But this is a re-release, though, right?
Only in that it was out under...
Oh, under, yes. The.
It's not a re-release, you know. It's the Tamara Thorne, but when I was writing as Chris Curry, that was my last book.
Mm. Oh, okay. Okay. Hmm, interesting. I can't wait to see... It's going to fly off the shelves. I know it.
Well, I just got it like 2 days ago, too, Tamara.
Yeah. We had a hard time getting them out. Getting them up into the air.
I had the package sitting in my doorstep, and I'm like, this has got to be it. I just tore right into it, and I'm like, oh, there it is. It's totally cool. And you've sent us... I mean, we got to thank you also, because you've sent us so much stuff, too. Maybe you didn't.
we
just got somebody in trouble.
We did get the sorority.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my publisher or publicist sent you lots of things.
Right.
We got tons. I mean, it's like a whole part of my bookshelf right now. We keep them in my house for safekeeping. Apparently, it's an unwritten rule, I guess.
Well, I don't know. I guess I have the only remaining Mark Kimmel book, right?
I'm going to get that back tomorrow.
I also have the Edgar Casey book, and I have...
I have one of those, too.
Oh, okay.
He sent us two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's... that's been fantastic. How about your... You keep in contact with your readers. I know, because I've gotten some newsletters and things like that. So you keep in contact with people who read your novels.
I try. It gets very difficult, but I have a newsletter called Drawn Quarterly. Can subscribe to. That's, you know.
You also have the Drawn Quarterly Quickie too. I like when that comes.
Yeah, that's what I usually end up doing. That was about this show, and I have the only autograph signing coming up next Saturday at Dark Delicacies, and you know. They ship, so if anybody wants autographs, personalizations.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were talking about that on the break. We want to get you out here to Detroit.
Mm-hmm. And you have to do a book signing in Detroit.
You and Damien can come out here. You guys can crash on my couch if you want. You know,
that sounds.
You
know,
free lodging. You know, I mean, it'll be totally cool. I mean, you'll have to deal with my roommate, but we'll keep him chained up for the weekend, I think, and there shouldn't be any problems. We really want to get you out here. It'd be really cool somehow to do that. I don't think we have the capital to do that.
Well, we'll take you to the train wreck site if you happen to be out and about here.
Oh, that sounds good.
Oh, that's quite a very active place. So haunting-wise, I think. Because that's where actual phenomena here in the Detroit area happens, is at the train wreck site.
Uh-huh.
And I've been there. I haven't seen it, per se, other than the fingerprints. The fingerprints I saw, but mostly you can smell the church incense burning. Mm-hmm. You can hear the things going on in the woods. It's just really, really crazy up there.
How long ago did this happen?
The train wreck? Was that the
late 40s,
early 50s? Yeah.
Wow. Ooh, that's very enticing. And I'm not being sarcastic.
And, well, there's actually... Do we have the picture up on ghostlytalk.com? No? I should put it up in the thing about the fingerprints. There's this bridge.
Photo, yeah. I'll email Tamara a couple of the pictures.
Oh, yes. Email a couple of the pictures to Tamara because there's this bridge, and supposedly this train crashed into the river under the bridge, right? So we go there one night, not expecting, you know, anything except for maybe some of the church incense smell and hope to hear the train whistle.
Wow. That wasn't good. Tamara, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Something went... We had to blow the line out, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was.
Reset that. Yeah. The whole bridge, all along the bridge, it looked like there were people grasping onto the rail and hanging over the side like they were going to climb up out of the water onto the bridge. Of course, it would have been physically impossible because the water is too far under the bridge. But it looked like they were like dangling and holding onto the side of the bridge. And we have photos of those fingerprints. We couldn't recreate the fingerprints ourselves. We tried. We would rub them away and they would come back. And they only were there that one night. They were never... I've not seen them again.
It's like the 18th or something of August, so we got
to
go back.
Yeah, we have to go back. It's like the 18th of August or something. We're going to go back there and see if it's a yearly recurring kind of haunting.
Oh, I wish I were there. That sounds wonderful.
We'll send you photos. Of course, this year it might not be quite like, maybe it's not a yearly recurring haunting, but... That would be really something if we got something.
Well, you guys are talking about recurring hauntings, and we were talking about that a little bit earlier. I want to touch on that some more because that concept has really kind of put the hook in me today about somehow, because I've always thought of the residual haunting, which, you know, is a reoccurring haunting, of course.
Right.
I've always thought of it as more or less like the maiden walks across the cemetery, like, you know.
Or the lover's quarrel at the top of the stairs.
Where it's just something, it's an event that you're supposed to see that you would normally not see. That's not physically there, but you can see it.
Yeah, or hear it or smell it.
Yeah, I've never really heard of a physical... I don't want to phrase that wrong, because it's like there are certain things that happen. It's
well, all happen. Right. I
yeah, give me something here.
You remember when... Remember when we went to Adair Cemetery?
Adair
Cemetery. And you got... you and Scott B... Was it the time you and Scott B were there? And then also my friends... Dan and Nisa, who, by the way, Dan and Nisa were the first Ghostly Talk listeners. They were there as well. Do you remember that?
Okay. Yeah, I do. Yeah. Yes, I do, Doug. Now you can say okay.
There you go. Okay. Nisa told a story once of her when she was a child, mm-hmm. and she went to spend the night at a friend's house,
uh-huh.
and they were there, you know, giggling up late at night, you know, like you do, I guess. And this little boy opens up the closet door, walks out, closes the closet door, opens up the bedroom door, walks out, closes the bedroom door.
Okay.
Well, needless to say, she was pretty freaked out.
Did that happen just one time, though?
It was a recurring haunting. It happens every single night at that house.
That's every night.
Every night. And he never says anything. He's just doing the same thing over and over again. But the closet door opens and the bedroom door opens.
Is anybody ever saying, like, why are you opening the door?
Well, yeah, of course, but they...
Excuse me. Hey, hi. Why are you opening the door?
At that point, I think Nisa probably just, like, went under the covers and stayed there the entire rest
like,
of the
like
night.
I would do right now, probably.
If somebody walked through
30-year-old man hiding under the covers.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good example right there. That's physically acting on the environment around you, like doors mainly.
So I was always under the impression that that you could physically act upon if you were recurring haunting. Now, if they remodeled and took the doors out, that's when it looks like they're walking through walls and stuff. That's just my own, what I always thought it was.
I think you can have more than one type of haunting in one location. I've seen it. I don't know if residual haunting, I don't know why they wouldn't impact, you know, physical reality. I think it depends on what they are, but you can have the poltergeist phenomena mildly, or a haunting. You could also have something, a haunting, a residual haunting that a human influences, sort of like a poltergeist. But
well, I was going to say that. Maybe, I mean,
Well, for a residual, there's always we have that factor involved where at this time, this day in the year, we have these two souls that meet, or you know, whatever the story may be. Could that? I mean, theoretically, I mean, we know we've talked about Halloween on this show so many times, and we know that the basis of Halloween is based on Samhain, where the veil between the world and the netherworld are their closest together. The gap is the smallest,
the thinnest veil. Yeah. Yes.
Now. That's one. The idea I may have is maybe we have more than one time of the year, possibly, that the gap is that thin, and maybe it's just in certain parts of physical reality, so to say. I mean, not just worldwide on Halloween, the gap closes on the whole planet. Maybe it's in smaller pockets in our reality as we know.
Well, I believe that, and like for example, at the taco stand in California or. Wherever, I don't know. I think it's out west you're from, right, Tamara?
She's from California.
Oh, California. So the taco stand, maybe that's just, you know, a pocket of, you just happen to be able to see the
Trivial Pursuit. Well, I don't think it was a soul. Past guests. I think it was just a, you know, tape. And maybe it was the right time of day. Maybe the stars were lined up.
That's what I was going to say.
Maybe we were in the right mood, but we both saw it. And, you know, I just jaw dropped to see that there was no one in that bathroom.
Maybe it is something like that, though. That's what I was kind of calculating, too, is maybe there has to be all these different factors that have to line up.
Yeah, and I think you can talk about them from a more scientific aspect, or you can talk about them from spiritual, you know, the Halloween. You know. And there's probably somewhere in the middle, and I think it's all sort of the same talk for the same thing, different words, you know, whatever gets us off.
And that's the glue I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's the glue right there.
Yeah.
But maybe it is all these... See, I theorize too much on this kind of stuff, and I'm waxing too much intellectual on. But I'm tired. I mean, really, and we talk about these things, all these different things that go on.
But there's... I can't think of an answer. Like, I can't think of somebody who comes up and says, okay, this is it.
Yeah.
This is why all this stuff is happening.
Can't really know. It's very important to have that mystery.
I think the reality of it is I'm just too lazy to study all of it separately, so I just want to get it all bunched up into one big ball, and that'll make it a lot easier.
I study each one separately, but then it's like comparative religion. That's what it is. It's just you start seeing the correlations between the things, which is different than junk science.
Mm-hmm.
Science would be people report seeing UFOs over a certain mountain. Someone else reports seeing a Bigfoot, you know, which might be a bear, or it might be something that, you know, we haven't quite found yet, you know, a Bigfoot, or it might be a shadow. And then a third person will come along and say, ooh, Bigfoots and UFOs are related. That's junk science.
Yeah.
Got to watch out for that.
No, exactly. I agree. There's just things, I mean, we've talked to so many people, obviously, and that's what I've been doing for the last couple months. It's just been like, okay, we did it last week. We had Dr. Little on. We talked about Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about, you know, he talked about all these places where this stuff is supposed to be. And I'm like, now wait, that's making sense with this person's theory over here. And but like you just said, Tamara, it could be this aspect of, it is comparative religion in a lot of ways. I mean, this person believes this. They believe this is the answer to everything. I mean, Atlantis itself could be the answer to all of our questions. I mean, it's been theorized that these are the people that are responsible for who we are and what we're doing right now.
Sure.
Like an internet talk show.
It could be, but at the same time, I don't think, like, the Home Depot or whatever is the answer to every home builder's dream, you know?
Have you been there?
Well, it's pretty close.
Yeah. It is pretty close, yes. But I mean, it's the
you can get a hot dog and a door. All in one setting. What are you talking about, man? Now, Tam, we're going to have to argue about this for a second. Now,
Well, I'm on your side. Great.
You can get fed, you can get...
Okay. I phrased
Did
it
I just,
wrong.
Like, shoot that idea?
Yeah,
I apologize.
All right, I'll turn in my parapsychology degree. Oh, wait, I don't have one. Okay.
Auerbach's book, and I always mix up the title, his original book, Ghost Hauntings and Poltergeists, or ESP Hauntings and Ghosts, something like that. His book really defines things well, and he's very open-minded. And he's also a magician, and so he knows a fraud when he sees it. But I like what he has to say about things. You look him up. He's good.
Lloyd Auerbach?
A-U-E-R-B-A-C-H.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very, very famous from out west. He's from the San Francisco area. I know it's like North California.
Yeah, you see him on TV a lot, and he's not like the Amazing Randy, except that he's a magician. And he just says some great things, and he defines how different things work so you can see better what you're talking about. You know, putting them together.
Mm-hmm.
Separating and then putting together, if that makes any sense at all.
Interesting.
Really cool, though.
So I'll tell you what, when you're out at Borders and Barnes & Noble and all that kind of thing, picking up, you have to pick up the sorority. Mm-hmm. And then also pick up the... wait, what book are we talking about today?
Thunder Road.
Thunder Road. Also pick up Thunder Road. And then also pick up Lloyd Auerbach's book about the hauntings. So, you know, take a $50 bill and go to the bookstore.
$50 bill. You run to Borders?
Yeah, I would have to take a gold card.
Take a hundy.
When I go to Borders, so... But, yeah, because... I've not read Auerbach's book, but I have seen him a lot on television.
Oh, he's a great guy, and I think his original book is out of print at the moment, but he's released another one that has much of the same material in it, and it's updated. And it just look him up, you know, on Amazon or whatever, and you probably won't find a sorority in bookstores, because that's over a year old, so, you know, look it up on the Internet, or... The place I'm signing next week will have it.
What, do they pull it out of circulation after a
year? Yeah, wait a minute.
There's not rooms in bookstores for lots of books.
Well, yeah, we have to make room for the new Oprah Winfrey book, though. I mean, they'll have their whole corner of the store for that.
Well, that's money, honey.
Yeah.
That's what I aspire to.
Your case, the sorority was over a year ago?
Well, it was June, July, and August. It was released in three parts.
That was last year.
No, a year ago.
It was a year ago.
Yeah.
Wow, that year flew.
Yes.
I just had a revelation.
Yeah, I did. I'm like, oh
my
gosh.
I'm a year older.
Where did the year go?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going back to the place the next book is set already as I'm finishing it, and it's just, wow.
Do you think you'll revive, like... Because I know you had gone out there probably several times, and now you're almost done with the next book, right? And you're going back to the place. Do you think you'll revise anything based on that, or look for specific things for clarity, or?
I'm really going for photography and to experience the area near Halloween, but it's, you know, southwestern, old west type stuff, and it's very haunted, and it's just delightful, and I'll talk about it next time.
Oh, I want to go.
I'll let it loose next May at the Ghost Tracker.
Okay.
That's part of the reason I get to go, too, is I need to collect more stuff for that. But, and I'll talk about it on Magic Mind and on radio. I think that's one of your compatriots.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm co-host on Thursday nights when they talk about ghosts now.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? On Magic Mind?
That's cool.
Yeah. I didn't get the memo.
Yeah, we didn't get the corporate supposed to send that stuff down to us all the time. We didn't get anything on that.
Magic Mind, that's with...
That's Dr. Ed Kraft.
Is that Ed Kraft?
Yeah,
it's Ed.
He forgot to call me and tell... Oh, I don't think he knows my number, but he could have emailed.
He probably said something to me. I was probably like in a daze somewhere, and I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. I mean, that happens
doing,
a lot.
Let's see, this coming Thursday, every Thursday...
Oh, I'm calling in.
And I'm going to do Monday in a couple weeks when they have the Church of Satan on because I've read their books.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to call in.
I don't know if you can. How many lines does Ed Kraft have?
I don't know. I'm going to figure something out.
We're going to send him a cell phone.
I'll drive down to Alabama and be like, hey, Ed, how you doing? Heard you're doing a show tonight. He's actually having the Church of Satan on?
Yeah. He told me it's the first interview in 15 years this way. And,
wow.
Yeah, they're not evil. Not like... the ones who pretend to be them. What I like about them, although I am not a member of anything, nor would I be a member of anything of any kind, is that they respect animals as much as they do people, maybe more. I like that attitude.
Actually, if I actually own a copy, I don't worship it or like bleed on it or anything like that, but
research.
I do.
I have them too.
Yeah, I do own a copy of the Satanic Bible at home. And I have read it from cover to cover, and I have to say, according to Anton LaVey, if a person who practiced that followed that book cover to cover, they would be probably the most humanitarian person you'd ever want to meet.
Satanists are the true, according to the Satanic Bible, according to Anton LaVey, they are, like you said, Tamara, they are complete humanitarians, and they don't believe in any type of harm. That's why you'll see a lot of people, a lot of vegans, for example, who are vegans. I don't know if vegan is a person that eats
vegetables only. Yeah.
No animal products whatsoever. A lot of those people are devout Satanists, if you notice, if you ask them.
Peculiar thing, and that's why I decided I wanted to talk about it, because when I wrote Moonfall, the area that it's based in Southern California actually does have a reputation for satanic activity, and that's, you know, teenagers.
Yeah. Those are the angst-ridden kids that just want to scare people and scare
parents. That's what you hear about in media.
You don't hear about
that. You hear about that. You don't hear about the Church of Satan and the and
Satan. Besides, this would really piss off George Bush, and I'm all for anything that pisses him off.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Way to go.
See, Tamara, you just earned like 10 brownie points on my list right there. Keep going with that. That's good.
See the Freelander Smith link on grimacres.com.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find the best political, funny stuff. Nothing bitter or mean. Not too mean, anyway. there's a whole list of links there that are just, they cracked me up. My webmaster and artist and collaborator have all helped me find them, and they run spiritkeep.net and all about ghosts and my stuff. And
how do you know all these people? Is that the same person or is that different people?
The Grimm Girls and our brother Grimm are 4 people, including me. No, 5 people. I can't count. it's not one person. It's
okay.
Collusion.
Well, when you actually meet and talk to and work with B. Magis, who runs the Haunted Dog House, I want to meet her.
That's not who runs it anymore.
What?
No, I sent Scott an email explaining. It's run by the people at spiritkeep.net.
Yeah, I have that at home. I read that.
Ghoststudy.info.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it'll be live again, seriously live, I think in September. They're revamping it.
Are we talking about the same Haunted Dog House?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's actually all about ghost.com or .net.
Yes, exactly. No way! They didn't email me on this.
It's on the front of the site.
I do an internet radio talk show.
You just scroll down to haunted locations, United States, and hit the state. That's all you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's all I do.
You don't need anything else.
Well, not usually, but
I'll put you in touch. But talk to me afterwards.
What happened to B. Magis then? That was the name that at the website where.
Yeah, or she moved on to other things.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I wish her all the best. If any of you talk to her or ever email her or whatever, say, Doug of Ghostly Talk really respects what you've done.
Okay, we'll let her know.
Because
if you look at the art on Grim Acres or Spirit Keep, that's the real power all along. And Jim Carter at ghoststudy.info also.
Doug just turned the pale white.
There's a whole world out there that I don't know about.
But you've got other people working with you, right?
Yeah. That's amazing. Totally incredible.
You know, I called him about it. As soon as I got the email, I called him. I knew he'd be freaking out about it, and he was sleeping. So I tried and tried and tried, and I left him like 50 voicemails, and he was still sleeping. So I don't know what happened.
That's it. I'm just always sleeping. But I can't. I just can't believe the. All this stuff goes on.
Everything's a soap opera.
It sure is.
I want to mention something else when we talked about W there. I'm out in a new anthology from Cemetery Dance called The Devil's Wine, edited by Tom Piccirilli, and it's all horror writers writing poetry, of all things, but not necessarily about horror, especially in my case. You can see some... if you click the library link on Grim Acres and click Devil's Wine, you can see some excerpts. But Stephen King, Ray Bradbury, Peter Straub, Tom Piccirilli, all kind of Jack Ketchum, they're all in there, and which is why I decided that I should learn to write poetry.
You said Cemetery Dance is the one that you did.
Well, it's Cemetery Dance Publications. It's a big hardcover, and
oh, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah. So No, oh, this is called jugular wine. Jugular vine.
Vine? Oh, yeah. Read a little of that out loud.
You want me to try?
Hot Burger Love is the one you should read out loud if you're looking at the site.
Okay.
No, he's looking at a printout.
I have a printout of all the stuff.
Oh.
Hot. I don't know.
Dude, actually,
hot Buttery Love? What
hot
was
buttery
that?
Hot Love?
Burger Love? I thought I heard.
Yeah, just the first three or four lines, I think.
Oh, Hot Burger Love. Okay, all right.
Hot Burger Love. Okay.
That's only a good 50s right, song.
We'll see.
Give me some Hot Burger Love.
There you go. Yeah. Well, I don't want to. I'll mess it. I already destroyed her book. You got to destroy her poem.
All right, let me try to destroy her poem. Okay.
All right, we're going to look your poem now, Tamara.
Just the first stanza?
Yeah, I only write photography. Say your
thing,
but
this
I think
is
what
excellent.
I put on Grimmakers was just the first stanza.
Okay, here we go, Tamara, ready?
Okay.
Wendy's, so hot and juicy tonight. You want the works? She asks, licking her lips. Smiling coyly, she studies me. She is fresh. I am hot. I nod. She smiles, then drops her gaze and asks, Jack's in the box? Not yet, I reply. He's still in the bag. Home of the Whopper, she murmurs as she unwraps my package.
Tamara, how can you take fast food and turn into sex? Fast food is the least sexy thing on the planet.
I'm going to Wendy's after.
Although tells me I want a bacon double.
Suddenly, I crave.
That's,
yeah,
but no, that's. I mean, just that little. I printed this out earlier today because you sent me all these. You emailed these all to me, Tamara. And God, that was pretty hot. You guys keep going. I'm gonna read the rest of this thing. You guys keep going. Right?
The La Parisima poem was serious, and that was easy to do because I'd been to the place.
But
the vibes. But otherwise, I have a very hard time doing anything.
Well, it sounds like you had a lot of fun doing that.
It's a poem. It's
sure.
Great.
And,
I mean,
makes for a happy home life. What
it
can I
sure
say?
Does. Sure does. That's incredible. And that's in the book,
mm-hmm.
Cemetery Dance.
No, it's called The Devil's Wine.
Oh, The Devil's Wine. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
On cemeterydance.com, Amazon, Shockwave, everywhere. You know, just look on my website and, you know, in the library. And
it's all there.
But, yeah, I sent you those because it's a pricey book.
Yeah, we have, yeah,
not
we
like
have
those
them here.
Paperbacks.
Right. Yeah, we have the paperback collection. But, wow.
Nice.
That's incredible. You've been. When did that come out?
It's just out. It came out in July.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm
never
going to
go Burger King and feel the same ever again.
How do you have time to do all this, Tamara? I don't know how. This is incredible. You awe and inspire me every time I talk to you.
You shouldn't. You know how behind I always am.
I'm like, wow.
The poems, once I got haiku form, I pretty much couldn't drop it, and I'll still start speaking in haikus without even realizing it.
I have her haikus, too.
That's a lot of what I put in there.
Oh.
But the other stuff.
Gosh.
I have the haikus, too.
Oh,
I have the haikus, and I know they're here because I was reading them today earlier today. And I was cracking up.
There's a W haiku.
Well,
haiku.
You have the pet haikus in here also. That's
oh
part
yeah
of it.
About kitty cats.
Yeah, this is really cute. Can I try? I can get through three lines without killing them, I think.
All right, all right.
Let's see if I can destroy this or not. The pet haikus. Okay, I had it right here. Okay. Now this is divided up into four parts from what I see here, Tamara. It's four parts, okay, and this is called Pet Haikus. And the first one's called Action. Ready? Here we go.
Okay.
Action. Kitty on my lap, meows and runs to her box. My thumb smells funny.
All been there?
Oh, my gosh.
Reaction. Dog looks at cat box, drools in anticipation. Yum, almond mocha.
Oh,
Roca. Sorry. Still funny. Good. Nice.
Yeah,
I wrecked it.
There's one called Dyslexic W in there, and I didn't even realize it was in the book. I'd lost it off my computer, and I don't know it by heart.
What's it called? What's the name of that one again, Tamara?
Dyslexic W, but I don't think I... Maybe I said it to you.
I don't remember seeing that one.
Yeah, I think I lost it, because when I read it in the book, I wrote that. Oh, cool.
Well, we also have approval on Pet Haikus.
Okay.
This is the third part. Spot sniffs my new gal. Gee, your ass smells delicious. Love me. Love my dog.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, it's Clint. It's,
you're
it's
making haiku fun for a change.
We did the same thing 2 years ago.
Yes, we did.
I can't do it seriously.
We do have the haiku thread.
Oh, cool.
We had haikus, yeah. We tried doing haikus a couple of years ago. We thought it'd be like a cute little like commercial zinger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it turned into like this train wreck of profanity, basically.
Yeah,
just trying to see how many F-words we could get like in three lines.
Mine turned into a limerick somehow. I don't know how that happened. But
it morphed into a limerick.
Yeah, it came out as it went in as a haiku, came out as a limerick. So
We went to Nantucket when we were in New England, so I understand.
Yes.
All the way home from New England, I was writing haikus on the plane to stay awake about Nikon, and if any of the Nikoners are listening, some of them may be okay.
Some of them may be okay. There once was an author in Nantucket. No.
Yeah, 575.
That's it, 575. How come I always want to write limericks? I don't know.
That's fine, whatever works.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You see,
I know some very dirty limericks.
But all you do is write. I mean, like you were just saying a second ago, you're on a plane, you're trying to stay awake, you just start writing haikus.
Yeah, or if you're sitting in the doctor's office, and I remember doing that, and there were all these little, you know, just to get my back massaged, and you know, or tweaked, or whatever those bone doctors do, and I realize I'm sitting among all these noisy children, and I'm about to lose my mind, so I get out the pad, and I manage to write about 20 haikus about sneezing, runny-nosed children, and maybe I'll publish them someday.
Ooh.
Everything's an opportunity.
Well, you know, that's one thing I've always wanted to do, and it's something I've been wanting to, like, actually practice for like 5 years now, is always carry a pad and paper around in my pocket, like one of those little notepads you flip out, you know?
Yeah.
So I thought I could feel like, you know, like Columbo or something on top of that, but I mean, I would, you know, I get all these stupid ideas and goofy ideas, and they might actually be pretty good sometimes, and I would like to have something to write them down with.
Yeah, you really should. I pretty much carry a pad and pen, too. It's just natural to do, and there are no stupid ideas.
Well,
you know, you've got to have the ideas before you can find out if they're bad or not.
Well, true.
Do you know, this is like such a cool Ghostly Talk show, because we've got all these great people. We also have another artist in the studio, and I want to pass the mic over to him. You do the writing, right, for your music? Tell us, where does your, we've only got like 4 minutes left, right? Where does your inspiration come from? How do you find time to write that kind of thing? So here, I got to pass my mic over because we're micless.
Switch it on. I really don't know. there's no big, it's not a big deal, you know. You get a line or a hook in your head and you just sit down and you write a song. You know what I mean?
Did you do it like in the doctor office?
No.
You get your best ideas in the shower, because that's where I get my ideas.
No.
I'm serious, too. I'll get a monster riff and be like, got to get out.
No.
I'm like soaking wet sitting there with a guitar in my hand.
No, I think that maybe this. Sometimes dreams, you wake up and remember a dream, and it's kind of like a swirly thing. So when you're describing it to yourself, you get these kind of run-on, you know, lines, and they can become lyrics. I don't know, experiences, knowing people. You know, the typical stuff every writer says, you know, that it's just people around you, events, things you notice that other people might not notice, and you just kind of form it, you know.
But do you sit down, though, and like...
No.
He still thinks
well,
he has
you
the
plan,
microphone.
If you plan, like, my problem's always been, if you sit down to plan to write a song, you're gonna get a lot of crap. It's not gonna...
Suck.
It's just not gonna... Because it's not really inspired. It's you're trying too hard, you know what I mean? So it's better to just wait for things to come, and they'll come out in 3, 4, or 5 minutes. You'll have a full song, or you'll have a full, you know, I write poetry and stuff like that as well. And
well, that's
and you'll just kind of get...
Music is poetry. Too.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But I mean, I've written, you know, there's, you know, a lyrical thing, and then there's like free verse and doing stuff like that. And I, you know, of course, if you're a lyricist, why not venture off and do that stuff? But anyway, yeah, there's no real big deal, at least with me. It's just kind of easy and fun and... I don't really know what else to say about that.
Okay. Well, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Thanks.
All right.
Well, you're right, Tony. I mean, a lot of times that inspiration comes at the weirdest times, too. It isn't, like you just said, that's like probably the best point anybody could ever make right there, is that if you sit down and go, I'm going to write a poem. I'm going to write a good poem about cats. It is going to be fun. And you sit down and go... I slaughtered this cat and set it on fire, and I mean, you're not. It's gonna suck.
So
I mean,
it doesn't
it really
work
is.
unless.
No, it's the things like I said. Like you're in the shower, you're in the shower thinking about anything else but music or poetry or whatever.
It's kind of like ghosts.
Yeah, that's true. It happens whenever it happens.
Just kinda, things hit
you're not expecting them to hit you.
Yeah, and you tied that in real well, because that's one thing I was going to say. A lot of times, I mean, I know I do, where I'll have an idea, for instance, and I'll just like be like, and I'll just blow it off, be like, I'm too busy right now. And the same thing goes with what we've been talking about for the last 2 hours with Tamara, too, is that you don't pay attention to them all the time. You just let them go, and they're gone. Same thing goes for these occurrences. For example, the old man going in the bathroom. Don't always pay attention to them. You're always not conscious about it. And sometimes you can't be conscious of inspiration either. That's what I've found, too. I'm going to turn the mic off now.
No, this is fascinating. This is absolutely fascinating.
The old man in the bathroom, if I hadn't had a companion seeing the same thing, I would have written it off to, oh, I'm seeing things. Writing of any kind, the trick is you sit down to play instead of saying, okay, I'm going to be all serious. You just start writing, and then it takes over.
Yeah, it does, and I mean, we all know that here, too. I mean,
yeah.
We all try to offend and make people laugh as much as possible through our writing. it's a time killer for me. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the stuff I do on our site and just goofing off and here and there, it's a time killer for me, but it really takes my mind off of what I don't want to be thinking about, and that's work usually. So,
well, speaking of time killers, you guys, it is time.
It is time
to kill the show. Yes, it's like 1 minute to nine. We have to make way for W Paranormal. Also,
it's their anniversary show tonight, too.
It's their anniversary show tonight.
And I just could not get out of work tomorrow to go up there and hang, because they wanted us to come up there. So we're really sorry about that, guys.
Yeah,
they wanted us to come up, and it's like I tried to really get up there this weekend, but I just couldn't pull it together, unfortunately. So, guys, you have a great show. And congratulations on your anniversary, too.
Yes, that's true. Congratulations,
and
Rob. Congratulations, Bob.
Stay off the absinthe, guys, all right? That's just going to kill you guys.
Tamara Thorne of TamaraThorne.com and Grim
Acres.
Acres, GRIMMACRES.com. Mm-hmm. Thank you very, very, very much.
Well, thank you. I
we love
it.
Having you on our show. It's always exciting to have you come back.
Oh, it was nice to get to chat with you, too.
Yeah. And so everybody, rush over to Amazon.com or out to the bookstore and pick up Thunder Road under Tamara Thorne's name.
Yes.
It's out. And Tone Niche, of course, of toneandniche.com, thank you so very much. I am going to be there at the CD release party.
I'm going to be there, too. You guys
absolutely
rock.
Yes. That was totally, totally awesome. Thanks for showing up. And we got to talk about UFOs. We got to talk about
art.
Poltergeists, hauntings, art. Writing.
Sex.
Yes.
Girl psych testing.
Yeah, how to answer certain questions on your psychological exam. We talked about everything this show. I hope you guys enjoyed it, because Ghostly Talk comes to you every single Sunday night, except when we're, you know, ghost hunting, from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time, live on Pioneer Networks. That's pioneer.rollo.net. Our own website is www.ghostlytalk.com. Our special guests, Tone Niche and
Tamara Thorne,
of course, their sites are linked up right on our homepage. So
go
to our homepage, go check them out, buy stuff. That's the theme. Buy stuff.
Buy stuff.
And you guys,
we don't have anything to sell, but buy their stuff.
Yeah, we don't sell anything. But and so we're going to turn it over then, I guess, to W Paranormal. Rob and Bob, happy anniversary, you guys.
Congratulations, you guys.
And congratulations, and thanks for listening. I'm Doug. And
I'm Scott Al.
I'm Carmel.
We're out of here. Bye.
That's it. We're going to turn off these mics.
Blah, blah, that's all, folks.
Bye-bye. True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from the Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.